Happy New Year. My name is Bill DeYoung, and this is the Arts Alive podcast for the St. Pete Catalyst. First one of 2025. I couldn't think of a better way to start the year off than by saying hello in this very studio to my friends and your friends, Paul Wilborn and Eugenie Bondurant. Hello, folks.
Woohoo. Hello. Hello.
Hi,
hello,
Bill. Happy New Year.
Thank you for
having us on.
Hey, we're so glad to see you. I wanted to make this kind of lighthearted. As always, you guys have a million irons. You always have a million irons in the fire. Paul was just here a few months ago. Well, things have changed since we talked. As they tend to do around
yes,
here.
Yes, they do.
You've got new stuff to talk about.
I do.
So let's start the year off this way. Paul, wanted to start with you. The Palladium is 100 years old in 2025.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow.
What did it start off as?
It was a Christian Science church, and really they broke ground in 2025. Mm-hmm. It took a couple of years to get it done, but we still can count 2025 as when they, you know, started building the church.
It's a big year for buildings in Pinellas County.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a story about that. A lot of the big hotels downtown, 2025, and I think this was the Florida land boom, you know, reaching St. Petersburg.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the Palladium, to me, is one of the iconic buildings, not just because I run it, but the architect was world famous. The folks who built it built the Flatiron Building in New York. This was it's a world-class building right here in St. Petersburg.
It's saying something that it's still standing 100 years later. Right.
Yes.
you did have a little bit of storm damage. Can we talk about that? I think you were here right before all that stuff happened. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we were high and dry, so we didn't flood during Helene, but the rains in Milton, we already knew there were some issues with the roof, and the college was starting to address them. We're part of St. Petersburg College.
Yeah.
But it pulled off a trap door on the ceiling. It invaded in various places, and we ended up the lowest point where there's a basement, a small basement really deep in the Palladium. No one sees it. And we had about 2 feet of water down there that had to be cleared out.
Is that where the bodies are buried?
That's where all the bodies mm-hmm. are buried, okay. Yeah.
I mean, you closed down Huff Hall for a while.
Well, we closed the whole place down.
Okay, but the side door opened first. What I'm saying is kind of what did you have to do?
Well, we really, when you have that happen and your air conditioner is running, it takes that smelly stuff and spreads it throughout your building. So we had to spend 2 weeks abating the smell, first they got all the water out, then they had to do all this treatment with the AC and the chiller and all those things to clear it up. And then it ends with the air quality testing that proved that people weren't going to die if they came in. Mm. So
glad you did that one.
Yeah, that one I'm big on. I didn't want anybody dying. But we still have a little, you know, 6-inch hole in Huff Hall, in the very back of the balcony from rain intrusion. And so it was a major deal.
You are in the middle of a $10 million capital campaign.
Yep.
This was the last thing that we talked about. I mean, this, and God willing, this will go forth and everything is going to happen the way you want it to. The storm damage didn't affect that in any way.
Not directly, but what the storm did, and there were some other factors too, including, I think, the rays and some of the other things that are going on, but we're supposed to be awarded $2.5 million from the Tourist Development Council in September, and that vote didn't happen by the County Commission, and it may not even happen until January. So that's a real linchpin of our project is $2.5 million. So everything's been where we were going to close next summer. I have a feeling we will not close for renovation until at least next January of 26.
You know, I did an interview not so long ago with Mark Ayling from the Warehouse Arts District Association, and they have a project they want to put forward. You know, this live work thing on their campus. I mean, everybody needs money. We all need money, and it's all about improving St. Petersburg. So it's beautiful. But he was saying that, well, you know, when money gets tight, the arts are the first thing to go. You know, and so there's all this sort of trepidation out there, especially over there, whether their stuff will move forward in a timely manner because of what you were talking about. And because, you know, there's money needed for infrastructure and hurricane, all of that stuff.
Bill, how do you go out and ask people for money for a theater when their houses are flooded and they're trying to, you know?
You said it, I didn't.
I'm just saying, we actually put our campaign, we took no active did no active campaigning really almost the whole fall. And that was going to be one of our highest, busiest periods. So everything got delayed by about 2.5 months. And so we're just going to restart in January and see where it takes us.
Is that frustrating to you? Like, oh, we should have started building.
Well,
have plans.
It's the old act of God thing. I mean, you know, it was nothing any of us could control. Yeah. These storms were a wild card that, and so you just have to roll with what the world gives you. This was not us failing to raise the money or doing something wrong. The whole world got, you know, Tampa Bay got shot to the jaw.
Yeah.
And so everybody's adjusting, and I think all over. I mean, look what it did to the Rays deal, you know, and to the Tropicana.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have heard something about that.
Yeah. A little, right?
So I can just say we're not alone. You know,
I probably said this before, but I would hope that your capital improvement, you know, all the stuff that you're going to do, the renovation stuff, would include parking.
Well, we're actually redoing the parking lots right now, Bill.
Oh, yeah?
It's going to be beautiful. Yeah, that is actually projects is going on.
I just say, if I'm there and the show starts in 10 minutes, forget it. I'm parking 6 blocks away on the street and, you know, running.
Well, it's,
you know, I don't like to run, Paul.
Don't know run. We're in an urban theater. You know, you got to, parking is always going to be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
But we do have two really nice parking lots, and they're being improved right now, so they'll look and work better. So
I'm going to put you on hold for a minute and talk to this beautiful lady here because
here
she's been sitting very patiently, kind of waiting for you to shut up. Kidding, kidding.
Well,
Eugenie Bondurant, of course, is an actress, an acting coach, a fashion model.
Yes.
And a pretty cool person.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, here she is. The last time you and I talked, you had been in a film called Summer Camp, which I guess was Castile Landon's film.
Yes, Castile Landon's.
Castile, who did Fear of Rain.
Who did Fear of Rain, and she's originally from, I believe, Bradenton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, genius, you know, filmmaker. Yeah.
Now, Summer Camp, it was Diane Keaton and Kathy Bates and who else?
Alfre Woodard,
okay. Yeah. So that was... that was interesting, and you were sort of a camper, and you were the screaming camper.
I was the screaming camper.
I got a screen grab out of that.
Camper. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I got to stay on set, which was at a summer camp for a week. It was my favorite thing. If I could have, I actually had that thought, like, wouldn't it be cool to go back to camp as an adult? And sure enough, a year later, I was back at camp, living on the camp.
Food fight.
Filming, doing a food fight my birthday, too.
You did a food fight,
totally great. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. And we were talking before we went on about a film called Popular Theory, which kind of went under my radar. I think it was 2023. But tell me about that one.
Yes, it came out last year. Ali Sheer directed and wrote it. And she is originally from Tampa Bay, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
Yes, her parents, David and Sarah Sheer, still live in Tampa Bay. And she's a really smart cookie. She wrote this film. She directed it. It is a smart kids film.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not,
I am comedy, or is it, you know, coming of age?
It's charming, coming of age. It's the story of two smart a boy and a girl who meet, and they have this little fun competitive nature about them. And it's a coming of age movie about this young girl. So actually in this film, I am not killing anyone. I know it's a shock, but I'm not doing evil things or trying to poison someone.
Now, folks, if you know Eugenie's history in the film, she certainly had a period there where she was bad news. Okay, going back to The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, and the TV stuff you did, the werewolf thing.
Werewolf by Night.
I couldn't remember
so
the name of it.
Much fun. I was, you know, I ran around. I looked pretty cool in that outfit, and, you know, I looked pretty sharp and like grr.
Is there anything in what they call the Conjuring universe in your future? Do you know? I have no idea what they're doing.
Don't know. I know they're wrapping up one of the last Conjurings, but they have spinoffs. So
I don't know.
Well, they finished The Last Nun, and then they're wrapping up Conjuring 4. I was in Conjuring 3.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. It would be nice. To anyone who's involved with that, I'm here.
and then there were none.
That's right.
And I found 115 grams on your CV, and I
grains,
remember
is
it grains or grains?
Grains.
I can't read my handwriting. You were the psychiatrist talking to the police officer. That was really good. That was
appreciate you saying that. Very serious
drama. That was locally made.
That also was locally made. We have really good filmmakers and talent here,
mm-hmm.
and it's it, what what the upside is that, and the downside is that there are no tax credits here in Florida.
Yeah.
So a lot of projects leave Florida. In fact, there was one, Bad Monkey, is now going to Los Angeles and not Florida because we don't have tax credits.
Right.
And California now does.
As I've written about this forever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before we move back to St. Petersburg, just to digress a little bit, we were in Savannah. And Georgia has this very liberal tax credit program. And so they were making movies like right and left of there. Some good ones and some really bad ones in Savannah, too. Can you say CBGB? anyway, so let's talk about, I found this on your listing for IMDb. There's a film coming out called The School Duel.
Yes.
Was that shot in Orlando?
No, that was shot here. Again, another solid film shot
and they did it without tax credits. Sometimes people do, usually they're, you know, Hallmark movies or something.
No,
that's not what
movie.
This is.
This is the opposite of what you would call a Hallmark film.
What can you tell us about it? I know you say it's down the road, you can't really spill a lot of beans about it.
Yeah, I can't spill any beans about it. I can say this, I play a principal, and I can say this, it won the jury, the Canal Plus Jury Prize at the DeVille American Film Festival in DeVille, France. It's a very prestigious festival, and you know, Kirk Douglas was there, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, all these big celebrities and whatnot. So it's
Isn't Kirk Douglas dead, though?
I'm sorry, it wasn't Kirk Douglas. Michael. It was Michael Douglas.
See, this is what I'm here for, folks.
That is good that you are here, because I am so sorry. It was Kirk Douglas in spirit and Michael Douglas, his son.
Oh, yeah.
That was there.
He did that Benjamin Franklin thing this year, which I didn't see. I saw a lot of the trailers, but it was a miniseries where he played Benjamin Franklin, coming on the heels of his TV movie where he played Liberace.
Yeah.
I thought, what a career.
Wow, right? I know. Crazy.
So The School Duel is coming out sometime this year?
Sometime this year, yes, we're hoping. And we're hoping it'll be accepted into a few film festivals this year. And we're waiting.
Looking forward to it. Let's talk about your acting classes, which you do over at...
Fabulous, at Greenlight Cinema.
At Greenlight, yeah.
Yes. Wonderful Greenlight.
I don't know, how's that going? You turning out good people?
I do. You know, I've got... Actually, it's funny you say that. Last semester... I've got several people actually now this week starting projects. They're shooting short films.
Okay.
And one of them is shooting before he starts classes again. So, and he squeezed it in right before classes.
Wow.
So Adam Sheets, he's got, and he's working with people that I've worked with before here locally. And I mean, they're really good and they're making things happen. I just happen to create the environment that these really talented people come in and they blossom.
I remember when you started doing this and when Andy Matheny left town.
Right,
I'm going
to
do this. You know, and I think that there might have been a little trepidation on your part in the beginning about will people turn up? So it's that was a few years ago. It's going well.
Oh, it's going very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like I create that creative environment. It's a nurturing environment where people can feel they get supported. There's no negativity. It's all support. And it's in a cinema. I mean, where else to put your classes but a place where, you know, you should be on screen watching yourself.
Do you screen things in the background? Like let's do it. Let's do a scene from On the Waterfront. And put, like, you know, the black and white behind them so they can feel like Marlon Brando.
I should do that.
Here's a thought for 25.
That's right.
Okay. Put them right. It's like AI, you know, put them right in the middle. Or not AI, virtual reality. You know?
Exactly. Like, here, Mike, this is what we're doing.
That's right. Here you are at the Coliseum, gladiator.
charge. Yeah. This is how you do this. No, our classes are starting next week, actually. Our core class is now full. Our scene study class is almost full.
Wow.
So we're actually opening up a Saturday core class because there's no more room in the Monday core class. Our short form improv class is almost full on Tuesday night, and our master class is filling up.
You have a very fulfilling life here in St. Pete. And any regrets at all that you're not in L.A. anymore, you're not in New Orleans, you're not in, you know, Europe, somewhere, you're not in Milan, because of all the things you can... In other words, we've talked about this before, but you can do it all from here.
I can. And you know what? I've got a great partner sitting right next to me. I'm
going
to pat him on the back. Yeah, the man with the big voice, you know? Paul Wilborn. Yeah.
Speaking of Paul Wilborn.
That's right.
Let's talk about your books. Cigar City is, I guess, now 6 years old. I mean, did we pass that threshold yet?
Yeah, I guess we did the fifth anniversary in 2024.
Yeah.
And because the book really got sidetracked by the COVID, it won the Florida Book Award in 2019.
And nobody knew.
And, well, we couldn't really couldn't market it very well. I didn't realize
you could. Well, it was in the St. Pete Catalyst, I think.
It was well marketed.
It sure was.
Anyway, we celebrated the fifth anniversary with lots of performances and these musical hybrids where Eugenie reads one of the stories and my band, the Front Porch Picnic, plays and sings. And we did four or five of those events, and now we just got another one in March at Dunedin. Through the Dunedin Public Theater at the Fenway Hotel. And we're going to do more of that
at stuff. At the Fenway Hotel. This sounds like a full concert production. This is like
it's a real production.
The Cigar City Review.
It's like, well, it's really fun.
Yeah.
And because the story, the breaks, the audience is, so they hear the story, they're starting to hear the story, and then there's a cliffhanger, and boom, we go into a song. And they've got to wait until the next
thing. Well, you're in the band, too.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
And so, she's reading the story, and she's a singer in the band. So it's just four of us. It's a really sweet thing. And nobody wants to be force-fed or read a whole story. But when you get it in little dollops, by the end of the night, you've heard 10 songs, and you've heard a whole story, which is fun. And with her reading it, it really makes it fun.
I should do that with the Skyway book. It'd be hard to find songs, though. You know,
honestly, I don't try to match the songs to the story.
Really?
We just do the songs that we do in our band.
Oh, see?
See, don't
there's
even.
There's hope.
There's two. Yeah. And there's actually, we just saw, read in the New York Times, there's a big production going to Broadway of this guy's writing. And with some with a band on stage in the background, I'm going, you know, I think we're in the zeitgeist. We're doing the right thing at
the
moment.
That's very cool. So tell me about this thing in Dunedin at the hotel. What day is that again?
Well, it's in March. I think it's March the 9th. It's a Sunday brunch event. So it's some time for me to get the date right. But but there's a real effort to create a public theater, a theater in Dunedin.
Yeah.
And so they're raising money, and that's happening at the Fenway Hotel out there, and this is a fundraiser for that effort, and that's mostly what I know.
I'll say it on the record. Connect me up with those people, because that sounds like something I'd like to write a story about.
It'd be great.
Oh, they're starting a theater there.
Our friend Elizabeth Brinklow, who used to be the arts director for the city of St. Peter's, is kind of leading the charge.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, she reached out. She came to see our show at New Tampa Performing Arts Center this fall.
Yeah.
And liked it enough to say, let's do it.
I think she liked my different voices for all the characters. That's what I think.
Everybody liked that.
There you go. The truth comes out. So let's wrap this up by talking about your new book, which we discussed here before. And this is about a criminal in old-time Tampa. You know, not the criminals that are there now. Sorry. No, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody.
You said it. I don't have to.
I don't know anybody in government or crime over there. I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah, that's what
he
says,
tell me about this book. Where are we in the process?
It's done. I am going to Writers in Paradise in early January. And Sterling Watson, the great writing author. And he's critiquing the book for me. I've got a private session with him. But really, it's done. I'm going to start shopping it. To some agents. It's a mob story, but it's got comedy. It's got a history of Tampa was the wildest town in America, next to maybe New Orleans, for much of the 20th century. It really only cleaned up in the 60s and 70s, but from about the turn of the century.
Allegedly.
It just, things went underground a little bit, but still the best strip club town in the world.
So anyway, I hear.
It's a story about Charlie Wall, the great famous mobster who was killed in 1955, but in my book he survives 1955, and it's now 1985, and he's telling his life story to his driver and bodyguard.
Well, certainly down the road, once it's published, we'll probably be sitting here again talking about it. But where did this idea come from? I mean, as a writer, especially as a fiction writer now, you can grab things out of thin air. How'd you get started on this subject?
Well, I was telling someone yesterday, I actually researched an entirely different book, and I don't even want to go into it, but it involved an NFL owner from the 80s in fictionalized, and I'd done all this research, and I just had one of my characters was going to rent a room from this old mobster. I thought that would be a fun thing for this guy to rent a room. Well, I started writing those scenes, and they just took over the book. And so I got rid of the character who was renting a room, created a new one, and the book just took off. That was the book that wanted to be written.
You have to have that in your mind, don't you? The willingness to change. You know, I, certainly as a journalist, I can write. I like the lead on this thing, and then I get to like the what we call the nut graph, the second or third paragraph. As you know, former journalist, and I'll go back and say that lead sucks. You know, go ahead and change the whole thing. You have to be open to that. It's what I always tell writers is don't fall in love with your work.
Yeah.
You know, don't this is the greatest thing I've ever written. No, it's not.
And with fiction, you know, when you're really in the zone and a door opens, you want to go through that door. And really what's great is the characters led me into that story.
Yeah, you mentioned that with Florida Hustle too a couple of times.
See, you let the characters, if they're really good and strong, they'll sort of lead you. I got to the end of this book. I don't make a plan. I had two guys facing off with guns. I didn't know who was going to die. I mean, that's how much fun it is to go just down that rabbit hole.
Do we have a timeline?
Well, if we're shopping it to agents to see if it's got national potential. Otherwise, I love St. Petersburg Press, and it would come out hopefully in the summer at St. Pete Press. So we're sort of just in between right now to see what the world thinks of it.
And you do have a title. I'm calling it
The Everlasting Life of Charlie Wall.
Paul Wilborn is executive director of the Palladium Theater. He's also a writer, author, former journalist, musician, and all-around cool guy. Eugenie Bondurant happens to be Mrs. Wilborn, but we don't need to call her that because she's an actor, an acting teacher, a model, and an all-around swell gal. It's been a pleasure. What can I say?
It's been our pleasure. Thank you very much,
Bill. Thanks for having us.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, woo-hoo! Everybody. Enjoy your first weekend of the new year.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Absolutely. Happy New Year.